I'm titling this sermon, Beyond the Dream. A couple of months ago, Joan and I, we were flying from Marseille, coming to the UK. I asked one of my friends if he would give me, if he would give us a lift to the airport. So he came, and in Marseille airport, there is an area where you can park the car for 40 minutes free of charge, so that you can get your luggage and go to the airport. But my friend was in a hurry. So he said, listen, I'll just drop you at the front of the airport and you can take your luggage and go. Since he was kind enough to take us to the airport, I didn't want to argue with him. And it happened. He took us to the airport. And I went quickly because there was queuing of cars to get the suitcases, but I forgot my jacket at the back of the seat. Now, that's not the only thing. The jacket inside, I had my passport. So after I got the suitcases, I looked to Joan and I said, I think there's something missing here. And then I remember the passport. So I ran after my friends in the car. But he didn't see me, of course. And as the car disappeared in the horizon, my hopes of flying disappeared too. He's this kind of person that would not use mobile phone anyway, so it was useless trying to call him and say, stop and come, I need my jacket. He eventually, when he arrived in Marseille to park the car, found my jacket, and then he saw the passport there. But by the time he came back, I have lost my flight. I wonder if you have passed through an experience like this, a little mistake that frustrated all your plans for a while. I know perhaps losing a passport or losing a flight is not dramatic enough for some people, but perhaps you are thinking that there are some circumstances that happened to you in your past or happening right now that is messing up your life. Maybe you feel that you have taken some decisions and these were not the most accurate decision to be taking. And as a result, you are wondering if your life will get back on course again. Or perhaps you are feeling lonely and discouraged. Prisoner in your circumstances and in your situations. Perhaps you are afraid to take a decision of what to do or how to go about a specific situation. Maybe you are at a crossroad, thinking of what is the future for me would be like. And will my decision conflict with God's plan for my life? Well, today I would like to discuss briefly some of these thoughts. I chose to have a look at a character in the Bible, a well-known character. It's the character of Joseph. And I would like to learn a few lessons from his life. Studying biblical character is really enriching. Why? Because we see real people. We see what happened to them through their highs and through their lows. So today we'd like to look at not just only at the passage that was read in Genesis 37, but briefly I will point some other passages in the life of Joseph. But I would like to encourage you, when you go home, to pick up the story again and read it through. From chapter 37 to the end of Genesis is predominantly the life of Joseph, apart from chapter 38. So it's very exciting indeed. And if you have not read it before, it's nice to sit in the afternoon and read through the life of Joseph and learn what happened to him. I would like to share with you three simple points from the text. One is a past infested with problems. And the second point will be a present full of challenges. And my third will be a plan perfected over time. So, a past infested with problems. Well, let's try to unpack who Joseph is and put him in context. Well, first, Joseph is the son of Jacob and Rachel. He is the oldest son of Rachel, and he is the son number 11 in Jacob's children. He is the grandchild of the great prophet Isaac, the son of Abraham. Now, the meaning of Joseph is, may Yahweh, may God add or increase, because Rachel was so happy to have him after so many years of barrenness. You maybe think and say, well, this pedigree of great prophets are far away from me. I am just a simple person. I'm just an ordinary man or a woman. I would like to point to you some of the facts about the life of Joseph, his background, the environment in which he had lived in. First, let's look at his father. In Genesis 25, we find that his father's life, Jacob, was full of deceit. He was deceitful to everyone around him, starting with his brother, his father, his uncle. This man, Jacob, is a deceiver. So Jacob is growing up in a family with this contentious situations. Now, what about the immediate family of Joseph himself? Well, as I mentioned, he had 11 brothers and sisters, Dinah, who was raped. We read the story in chapter 34. In chapter 35, we hear another horrific story of his oldest brother, Reuben, sleeping with his father's wife. In chapter 38, we hear even more horrible story of Judah, the fourth brother, who has committed immorality with his daughter-in-law. This is a family that is used to calamities and to horrible situations. Can you imagine anything worse than this? But God's plan for Joseph and to the people of Israel was completely different. God wanted to use Joseph to save the world, not just only the family. And if God is able to change the course of the life of Joseph, he is able to change the course of your life. God knows the circumstances. God knows the difficulties. God is able to reverse its effect in your life. You are coming here today, perhaps, with the ache of a broken relationship. Perhaps there is a financial crisis looming. Or perhaps there is a sin in life that you cannot get rid of it. Well, God is working in us to refine our characters and to make us the people whom he wants us to be. Now, we look at a past of Joseph. Someone like that, and you think, is there any hope in him? To have seen all of these atrocities, to have seen and experienced all of these bad situations. I'm sure most of us here could identify that our situation is much lighter than Joseph's situation. So a past infested with problems. Now we come to the present. The present does not look much better, a present full of challenges. Chapter 37, starting by giving us something about the background. Joseph here is 17 years old. He's working with his brothers as a shepherd. But his brothers hated him. Do you experience this at home? Jealousy between brothers? Well, this was much more. Why is that? They hated him because he presented a report, an accurate report, about their bad deeds to his father Jacob. They hated him because his father loved him more than any one of them. Actually, the father has made him a wonderful garment. ornamented garment, or what we are used to say, a colorful garment. I believe it was a royal garment, a garment with long sleeves, to show that this man is appointed to rule. In the life of Jacob and the shepherds, usually people will wear tunics and short sleeves so that they can move fast and quickly. But this robe was completely different. This robe is to mark a person to be, this is the one who will be the ruler in the family. And why is that? It's because the other brothers were forfeited their rights. Jacob had his eye on Joseph. He made him a royal robe. But also, there was a jealousy, and the brothers hated Joseph because of the elevation of his position. That would lead to jealousy and hatred. This is beside the point, but parents, do not make this mistake. I remember back as I grew up, my grandmother used to compare me with my cousin, who's 6 months younger than me. And she always, every time I do something, she will come to me and she say, your cousin is much better than you. And I hated that. I always wanted to compete with my cousin. But her idea is to encourage me to perform better and to be more of a student in my studies. But really, what she created is a spirit of competition. If I'm giving a present, before I open my present, I wanted to see what did she get my cousin. And I always had this jealousy with her until the Lord dealt with that. I wanted to talk a little bit about the dreams that Joseph had. He had two dreams. Now, I wanted to say something about dreams in the Old Testament. These were not ordinary dreams, because Joseph's brother took him seriously. After he had these dreams and shared it with them, they say to him, are you going to rule over us? This is not just only a young man is having dreams. No, God spoke in the Old Testament in dreams. God still speaks in dreams to people who do not have access to his word through the Bible. But notice something. Notice that God did not say when are these dreams are going to be fulfilled or what is going to be leading to the fulfillment of these dreams. The dreams of Joseph being the ruler, that everyone will bow before him, came to be fulfilled after 13 years of waiting. And through these years, Joseph went through difficult circumstances. He went to check on his brothers, and when they saw him coming from a distance, they conspired against him. They wanted to kill him. Eventually, they sold him to the Ishmaelite. He was sold as a slave. They lied to their father, and they said to him, well, a beast has killed your son. And there, in Egypt, he served as a slave, as a servant, in the house of Potiphar, the chief of guards. And he was a very honest and faithful man. Yet he was accused falsely by Potiphar's wife, and as a result, he was thrown into prison. What worse could it get? He was betrayed by his brothers. He was treated badly by his employers. And he was forgotten in prison by even the men who he was kind to, the cupbearer of the king. But something very interesting about all these difficulties in Joseph's life. In chapter 39, when you go home and start read again, you will find four times the Bible reads to us that, and God was with Joseph. God was with him, and Joseph was a man of integrity. He was obedient to God's commandment. He was obedient to the God whom he loved and believed in, even though his life was not going in the direction he had hoped for. We never read about Joseph raising his fist and saying, why me? Why is this? We never hear of Joseph saying, I am fed up with my situation. You are not my God anymore. He never did this. He didn't say, why me? All he could say is a very simple word that we can summarize it. God is in control of all things. God is in control of all things. God's still working in the life of the believers and for their own benefits. God is using pain and suffering. And I wanted to say this with respect, because many of us are really suffering through real pain, painful situations. But God is using these situations to draw us to himself. This is the megaphone that God is saying, here I am, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you the rest you need. Tim Keller, a pastor and a writer, wrote once and said this, if the God in whom you worship does not challenge you in your thinking, in your attitudes, in your behaviors, then he is a God of your own imagination. God is drawing us today to think who he is and to respond to him. Paul the Apostle in Romans wrote about the theology of suffering, saying, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has been giving to us. In the life of Joseph, we saw a past infested with problems, a present full of challenges, but then we come to the third point, a plan perfected over time. The dreams Joseph had held to it for so many years. He knew that God has plans for his life, and these were revealed to him through the dreams. The brothers tried to destroy it, and they were not successful. Potiphar's wife tried to extinguish it, but she was not successful. Then Joseph himself tried to work out the fulfillment of it by asking the cupbearer when he was in prison, by saying to him, remember me. And he was forgotten for two more years. Then we see, after 13 years, the fulfillment of these promises. The plan started to unfold before his own eyes. In chapter 42, there was a famine in the land, and his brothers came to him from the land of Canaan to Egypt to buy food. In chapter 42, verses 6 to 9, we read these words, that they came and they bowed down to him. And Joseph remembered. Joseph remembered what was 13 years earlier was a dream for him. Yet, what did he say? Now it's the time. Now it's the time to revenge. Now is the time to get my own way. No. In chapter 50, we read these wonderful words. He said this to his brothers. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. He realized the sovereignty of God. He realized that God rules. He realized that all creation are subject to him, and the hearts of the kings, as the writer of the book of Proverbs said, like a streams of water in his hands. Reading what Joseph had to say, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I cannot fail to see a similarity. This is a reminder of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are lots of similarities in the life of Joseph and in the life of Christ. Joseph was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Let me give you some examples. Joseph was the beloved one of his father, Jacob. Christ is the eternal beloved Son of God. Joseph was appointed from the beginning with giving a robe of royalty and honor. And Christ also was appointed to be the King of Kings. Joseph's brothers hated him. All you need to do is to read the accounts on the gospel of Jesus' life to find that the Jews hated him too. Joseph went to see his brothers, and his brothers refused him. What does the Bible tell us about Christ? He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Joseph's brother tried to kill him, to destroy him. The Jewish people conspired to get rid of Christ. But all their attempts led to what? That Christ will be crucified, that he will rise again, and that he will be the reason for so many people to be saved. He is the only source of salvation. Joseph eventually ruled, and his brothers came to bow before him. And Christ will rule forever. And every knee shall bow to him, and every tongue will confess that he is God, he is Lord. So there are similarities in the way situations were with Joseph, and similarity with Christ. But one final thing, if we can think of this, that you see the graciousness of Joseph. Joseph did not take revenge over his brothers. He said, comfort. He comforted them. And Christ is comforting us today. He's saying to us, come to me and I will give you rest. When I read the Old Testament, and especially when I read in the prophecy of Jeremiah, there is a wonderful verse, and I'm sure that we all know it, in chapter 29. God reveals his plans to his people and saying this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. God is revealing his plans to you and to me, towards his people. When we look at the context of this promise, we will find that the people of Israel, when they received this promise, were in a strange country. They were in exile. They were subject to other nations. They were not a free people. But God promised blessings. In verse 12 in chapter 29 in Jeremiah, he said this, you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you find me. God is calling us to call upon him, to draw near to him, to receive from him the blessings he wanted to pour to us. Before I finish, I just wanted to ask some questions for application. Is there a situation in your life right now is overwhelming you, something that you don't know how to deal with? God is calling you to trust him and to come to him with this situation. If there is someone in your past, perhaps, someone has hurt you, like Joseph's brothers hurting him, will you extend forgiveness to them? Will you be able to say to them, you meant it to harm me, but God has intended for good? A simpler question, have you submitted your life to Christ? Have you asked him to become your Savior, the one who will change your life to something wonderful that you have not expected before? Do you try to control the outcomes of your directions? Do you try to control the events in your life? Are you successful? God is calling you to trust Christ as your Savior, to trust him for your future, to trust him for your eternity. And once again, the Bible tells us this wonderful verse that I would like to close with. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. My prayer for you today is that as we go, as we think of God's word, that he has good plans for us, that we can trust him, that we can call upon him, that we can tell him what we are going through, and he will make our path straight.